I've already got the tube in my hand when most people start asking questions. I'm standing here looking at a joint that's failed just enough to let water sneak in, and I can tell right away why the last fix didn't hold. The bead is cracked, a little yellowed, and stiff to the touch. That tells me the wrong caulk was used, not that the person did a bad job. This is where most people get nervous, because they think caulk is caulk. Squeeze it out, smooth it, walk away. But the truth is, choosing the right caulk matters just as much as how you apply it. And if you get either one wrong, you're right back here in 6 months doing it again. I'll tell you why this joint failed, what I'm feeling for with my fingers right now, and how to make sure the bead you lay down actually stays flexible, clean, and sealed. You can do this, you just need to understand what's really going on before you ever cut the tip. Choosing and applying caulk isn't about sealing a gap. That's what people think, but it's not what's actually happening. What you're really doing is creating a flexible barrier that can move as the house moves, as temperatures change, and as moisture shows up and disappears. Every joint you see in a home exists because two materials meet that don't behave the same way. Tile expands differently than drywall. A tub moves differently than the wall around it. A window frame shifts at a different rate than siding. Caulk is the buffer that absorbs all of that motion without cracking or letting air and water through. Most failures happen because people think caulk is permanent. They expect it to dry hard and stay put forever. When that happens, it stops doing its job. A good caulk stays flexible. It stretches a little, it compresses a little, it returns to shape without tearing away from either side of the joint. When I press my finger into a good bead, even weeks later, it should give slightly and spring back. If it feels chalky, brittle, or stiff, that's a sign the wrong product was used for the environment it's in. Another thing people misunderstand is that caulk isn't glue. It's not meant to hold things together. It's meant to seal space. When someone tries to use caulk to compensate for poor fit or bad alignment, it almost always fails. If a gap is too wide, caulk will slump, split, or pull away as it cures. Understanding how wide a joint should be before caulk ever goes in is part of choosing the right product, not something you fix afterward. Water exposure changes everything. A joint near a shower, sink, or exterior opening needs a caulk that can handle constant moisture without growing mold or breaking down. A joint along baseboards or trim doesn't need that same level of resistance, but it does need paint adhesion and clean tooling. Using a bathroom-rated silicone where paint needs to stick is a common mistake, and so is using paintable latex caulk in a shower and wondering why it peels. Temperature and movement matter too. Exterior joints deal with sun, cold, and expansion far beyond what interior joints see. That's why exterior-rated caulks are formulated differently. They stay flexible in cold weather and resist UV damage. Interior caulks don't have to do that, and they'll fail quickly if you put them outside. What success looks like isn't a perfectly smooth bead right away. Success is a bead that still looks clean months later. No cracks, no separation, no mildew creeping in at the edges. When I walk back into a job a year later and the caulk still looks like it belongs there, that's when I know the choice and application were right. Before touching a tool, I always think about three things. What materials am I sealing? What environment this joint lives in? And how much movement I expect over time. Once those answers are clear, the right caulk almost chooses itself. When people skip this thinking, they rely on the label alone, and that's when problems start. I always start by laying everything out, even for a small job. A caulking gun, the correct tube, a sharp utility knife, a clean rag, and a small bucket of water nearby. Sometimes I'll have mineral spirits or rubbing alcohol if I'm working with silicone, because water alone won't clean it up. What you're looking for here is control. Caulking is slow work when done right, and anything that forces you to rush will ruin the bead. The caulking gun matters more than people think. A cheap gun with uneven pressure will cause surging, where too much caulk comes out suddenly and then stops. That makes it almost impossible to lay a consistent bead. I like a gun that gives smooth resistance when I squeeze, so I can feel exactly how much material is moving. That feel becomes important later when you're guiding the bead into the joint. Cutting the tip is another place people rush. I never cut it straight across. I angle it slightly, matching the width of the joint I'm filling. The opening should be smaller than you think. You can always apply more pressure, but you can't undo a bead that's too fat. When the hole is right, I can control the flow with pressure instead of speed. Surface prep is where readiness really shows. I run my finger along the joint before I do anything else. If I feel dust, loose paint, old caulk, or moisture, I stop. Caulk won't bond to dirt or damp surfaces. I've learned this the hard way early on, redoing work that looked fine on day one but failed weeks later. If old caulk is there, it comes out completely, not partially, completely. New caulk over old caulk almost never bonds well. Dryness matters too. Even bathroom-rated caulk needs a dry surface to adhere properly. I'll often wait longer than people expect, especially around tubs and sinks, because trapped moisture behind the bead leads to mold growth later. Positioning your body matters more than your hands. I always set myself up so I can move in one smooth motion along the joint. Stopping and starting creates uneven pressure and visible seams. I want my shoulders square to the line I'm working, my wrist relaxed, and the gun angled so the tip pushes caulk into the joint instead of dragging it across the surface. When everything feels ready, there's a calm that sets in. Nothing is rushed, nothing is improvised. That's how I know it's time to start. If something feels off, I pause. Professionals pause. Beginners push through and hope it works out. I start the bead by gently squeezing until I feel resistance change. That's the moment the caulk starts moving. I don't rush forward yet. I let a small amount fill the very beginning of the joint so there's no hollow spot. Then I begin moving steadily, keeping the tip pressed lightly into the corner so the caulk is pushed in, not laid on top. What you're listening for is consistency. The sound of the caulk leaving the tube should stay even. If it sputters or goes silent, pressure is uneven. That's when I slow down instead of squeezing harder. Slowing gives the material time to flow. As I move, I'm watching the edges of the bead more than the center. Clean edges mean good contact. If I see gaps or pull away, I adjust my angle slightly. This is where judgment comes in. There's no instruction that replaces feel. You'll sense when the bead is full without being excessive. Once the bead is down, I tool it immediately, not to make it pretty, but to seat it. I lightly wet my finger or tool and press just enough to force the caulk deeper into the joint while smoothing the surface. Too much pressure thins it out and weakens the seal. Too little leaves air pockets. Mistakes happen. Sometimes the bead gets away from you. When that happens, I stop and clean it right away. Fresh caulk is forgiving. Cured caulk is not. Knowing when to fix something immediately versus when to let it be is part of experience. When I'm done, I step back and look at the joint from different angles. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for continuity. A bead that flows naturally along the line without breaks or abrupt changes will last. I've learned over the years that good caulking doesn't draw attention to itself. It just quietly does its job. And when you choose the right product, prepare properly, and trust your hands instead of rushing, you'll get that same result. You're not guessing anymore. You're applying judgment, and that's what separates a temporary fix from work you can stand behind.